Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top 6 ways cast members make your vacation special. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 111 of the World of Walt Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of March 5th, 2017. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans. Whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. There are many factors that contribute to making your Disney vacation special, but I think one of the biggest, maybe the biggest, is the cast members. Sometimes I'm not sure if the declining performance of the rest of the world services makes Disney look even better, but in any event, Disney cast members are among the best anywhere in providing interactions that make guests feel special. Today we're going to explore that topic by looking a bit more at the top 6 ways cast members make your vacation special. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome a former Disney cast member, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome back.
Hello, thank you for having me back.
So tell me about your time as a Disney cast member.
You know, it was a long time ago now. We're going back, it's got to be upwards of 20 years now. And I was an attractions host at what was at the time Disney MGM Studios. Of course, now it's Hollywood Studios. And as an attractions host, that means that I worked some of the attractions that were there. At the time, there was an attraction called the Magic of Disney Animation, which was a tour through a functional animation studio. So you went in, you watched a short little movie about the animation process, which at the time was very different than it is now. And then you walked into this large area, and there was soundproof double pane glass, and you got to watch animators working on things. So I was there for a while. I also worked over at the Voyage of the Little Mermaid show as an attractions operations person, which would be getting people into the theater, telling them not to take photos, getting them out of the theater, stuff like that. There was also an attraction at the time called The Making of the Lion King that I occasionally worked. And a couple other things. Occasionally they would tap people from other attractions to come help out. For like crowd control on parades, stuff like that. So there was some variety in what I did, but in general, it was out there at certain attractions every day, talking to guests and either getting them into the theater or getting them through the tours and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was a lot younger. It was a very different time, but I still look back at it even now. It's just a really just great, great time and important time. For me going forward, because of just the training, and as we're going to talk about a little bit later on, the high level of quality Disney expects from their people that really helped me when I started getting out and doing other things like retail management or other customer service things. A lot of the lessons I learned at Disney, and even now, you know, now I'm a theatrical technician and I'm not really dealing with customers, but even now, that Some of the lessons that I was taught at Disney have carried on decades later in everything that I do. So it really did have a pretty big impact on me.
So we could probably have a whole episode or a series of them about your experience as a cast member, but a couple things popped into mind that I wanted to ask. So one is the Magic at Disney Animation. Do I remember right, did that have a film with Walter Cronkite and maybe Robin Williams in it?
You are correct. Okay. There was a video. So when you first walked into the attraction, there was a lobby area which had some cells on the wall, different animated features. It had some maquettes that they use, like 3D models of different characters they create to kind of see what the character would look like from all dimensions. There were replicas of some of the Oscars that Disney features had won. So you went into there and you kind of walked around, and there's a tour guide there. There's a, you know, attractions host there. Just kind of, you know, talking to people and getting people ready for what was going to happen next. And then you did go into this movie. It's about 8 minutes long. I believe you can actually still find it on YouTube if you search Magic at Disney Animation. And it was Robin Williams and Walter Cronkite. And it was about animation. And they basically turned Robin Williams into an animated character and put him into kind of a Peter Pan-esque story, kind of continuation of Peter Pan. And it's funny to watch it now, because of course animation has changed so much over the years that a lot of the techniques that they talked about aren't relevant. Actually, even when I was there, interestingly enough, I was there in around 95-ish. So even by then, Little Mermaid had come out and such. So they were already using computers to color. They're still hand-drawing, but they're using computers to color the features. Hmm. And the movie, because it was created before that, still had them talked about, like, hand-coloring.
Yeah.
So I think they did update it at some point. But, yeah, it was a cute, like, it was about 8 minutes long, and it was kind of fun and kind of funny. And interestingly enough, there's actually a reference to that movie in Aladdin, in the actual animated feature Aladdin.
Hmm.
At the very end, when the genie is free and he vanishes for a second and then comes back, and he's obviously been on vacation, and he's wearing like a Hawaiian shirt and a goofy hat and a camera around his neck, and he's very touristy looking.
Yeah.
It's the same outfit that Robin Williams wore in that movie, in Magic Disney Animation.
I remember the scene you're talking about where... Yeah, where the genie's free and he's doing all the crazy stuff.
Yeah, he comes back and he's like, oh, and he gives everyone a hug and all that. Yeah, that outfit is based upon the outfit that Robin Williams was wearing at the beginning of that movie in the Magic Disney Animation.
Wow, neat.
so now y'all have some, you know, weird little Disney trivia you can impress your friends with.
That's a good one. I'm going to use that one, actually.
yeah, it was, you know, the whole, it was a lot of fun. And it was, I mean, sure, it was hot and sure it was... you know, we had good days and bad, like any job. You know, we were, over the summer especially, we were very, very busy.
Mm.
And I worked, one of the attractions I worked was the Voyage of the Little Mermaid show, which was exceptionally busy. I mean, that's a very popular show,
mm-hmm.
and especially then. And we got just, I mean, we had the theater accommodated about 400 people. We were running shows every half hour, and we were at capacity every show.
Wow.
Just to give you an idea of how many people we got through that show on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Which is insane. But, you know, it's... But at the same time, you're working at Disney. And there's something about the pixie dust and working there. And you're surrounded by people who are having a good time. And, you know, and you're responsible for helping people have a magical vacation. And there's something very cool and very powerful about that, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I miss even to this day, where, you know, here's people that have traveled, they've saved their money, they've spent just, you know, who knows how much to travel from anywhere in the world to come to Walt Disney World for this vacation that could be the one only time they can make it. And, you know, they come to your attraction and they come face to face with you, and you're part of this experience for them.
Mm.
And how you react to that really affects their experience in a way. So it's pretty... It's pretty intense. And interestingly enough, you mentioned in your intro about other places declining quality make Disney look better.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because even to this day, and just having been to Disney as much as I go now, if I'm at any other tourist attraction anywhere, whether it be a zoo, an aquarium, anything, anywhere in the world, or even just going to the store. That's my watermark.
Yeah.
And if you don't meet Disney's standards, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
And it's really unfair to everybody else in the world, in a way, to try to hold them to this really impossibly high standard. But that's what it is. And, you know, I went to a zoo not too long ago and, you know, went into the restroom that wasn't spotlessly clean, and I was disappointed. I was like, well, it wouldn't be that at Disney, you know? And that's my fault. And it's kind of funny. But I will say that, I mean, it was a hard job. You know, not only is it hot, but that level of quality and that level of, you know, Disney pixie dust you're expected to keep up at all times is exhausting.
Mm.
But ultimately, and for some people, it wasn't worth it. You know, let plenty of people that you know, I saw come in and left pretty quickly and just couldn't do it. But those of us that could, you know, were, for me, I was shaped by it in ways that have carried over 20 years later.
Wow. That's great. And you're right. It is easy to compare the experience you get there with the experiences you get everywhere else. And it's easy to see the contrast. Yeah, I think about that a lot. So, and I guess that's why Disney has things like, well, used to have the Disney Institute or has corporate training programs, because they can explain how they make this happen. It's not like they have a patent on customer service. They just do it better. And I think other people could do it better too, but they don't, or so, choose not to.
So funny story. When I got the job, so Disney is known for its very high standards on how their cast members look.
Yeah.
And they've actually modified them over the years. They've kind of loosened the restrictions in some way where when I was there, a guy couldn't have a shaved head or couldn't have facial hair of any kind. And now they've loosened that up a little bit where you can have like a nicely trimmed beard. And I believe you can actually have a shaved head now.
Hmm.
So these are things, you know, but back in my day, which just made me just, I can't believe I just said that exact phrase. moving on. But when I worked there, it was still that very kind of Disney. When I was growing up and we would go to Disney all the time, my parents and myself and my brother, we would call it the Disney plastic people because they all looked a lot the same. And they all had that very kind of the short hair and the clean shaven and, you know, almost no jewelry. And it was very, very cookie cutter in a way. In fact, when I went to apply for the job and I went in for my interview, I had hair down past my shoulders. I had this big, bushy, unkempt beard. I had multiple earrings in. I was about the furthest thing from their ideal that you could possibly get. And, you know, I went in and I applied for it and I interviewed for it. And the guy was just like, oh, so, you know, I want to give you the job. You know, you have to, you know, get rid of all that. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. On the way home, like right from getting it out, on my way home, I stopped at like the first barbershop I could find and walked in and sat down and just said, this got a job at Disney. They're like, all right, we know what to do. And just took care of it. I just cut my hair to the specified lengths and all that because that's a lot of their business.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we used to make fun of it a little bit about just how we all had to look the same. And, you know, I was growing up, we used to, you know, call them the plastic people. But in going to other places, and then going back to Disney and seeing that, as I got older, I understood why they do it. You know, I've been to other theme parks and other tourist attractions where, and I'm not, I don't want to badmouth anyone's look. I mean, I've got tattoos, I've had long hair, I've had earrings, I definitely, you know, have run the gamut. Personally, a lot of my friends run the gamut with piercings and tattoos and like that and colored hair. So I'm not saying don't have those things, but you go to, you know, there was just something different about that clean cut Disney that it works for Disney and it kind of gives you this, it draws you into their world a little bit. And as I got older, especially, I definitely appreciated why they do that. And I'm glad that they're able, that they have in recent years opened it up a little bit and relaxed a little bit to take into account kind of modern styles. Because obviously, the original rules were based off of 1940s, 1950s styles.
Yeah.
So being able to, I'm glad that the company has been able to step back and kind of look at that. You know, even when I worked there 20 some odd years ago, the rule was no tattoos. And they asked you in the interview, do you have any tattoos? At the time, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd say no. But a lot of people did. They just weren't visible. Like as long as you were wearing a shirt and pants, you couldn't see the tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
The rule now, I believe, is no visible tattoos, because taking into account that people have them.
Yeah.
So, in fact, all of mine are coverable if I ever end up back there someday. So I'm glad they've been able to kind of modify and grow as society has changed. But I do, even now when I go there, appreciate. And I think if you're going to go there and work there, I think that's kind of like the first hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're willing to modify yourself to fit that ideal, then that's kind of the first step towards reaching that high level they expect of you.
Yeah. Yep. That makes perfect sense. I mean, you don't have to go and work there and they don't have to hire you. It has to be a good match and everyone has to agree that they're willing to deal with those standards. So,
right. I mean, like I said, I was definitely like a mountain man looking guy when I applied there, but they were willing to hire me and I was willing to get rid of all that to work there. So,
yeah,
and it worked for a while, you know, until I left.
Yeah. Neat. Okay, so I'm looking forward to actually diving into this, but before we get there, let's do the warm-up question, which today is, what's your favorite thing about Mickey's PhilharMagic?
Oh, man. You know, PhilharMagic is a great show. It's a lot of fun. It's cute. It's fast-moving. The technology is amazing. But I think my favorite part of it is simply the fact that it uses the classic Disney characters. Which they are not really used anywhere else in the parks. And, you know, there's some great attractions out there with a lot of great characters, but the ones that started it all, Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, you don't really see them. You see them meet and greet, you don't really see them in the attractions.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to be able to go and kind of see all these characters in action in the parks. So I think that's honestly, I think that's my favorite part of it is just the fact that it's the classic Disney characters.
Yeah, that's a great point. The fact that it sits in the spot where the Mickey Mouse Revue used to live, where there were pretty much all to that time the Disney classic characters. And you're right, you don't really have a lot of spots in attractions where you can see those characters. So I think that's a really good angle. For me, I like the fact that they were able to stitch together a story that includes scenes from lots of different movies, and it still doesn't feel incredibly forced. So they needed some string to pull all these things together, with Donald creating mayhem, as he often does. It's definitely in character for him, and following the hat through all these different movies with all these different characters. I like the fact that they were able to pull that together in a way that it kind of made sense. You could follow the story. It's a simple story, but it's a fun story, and it's a great vehicle for being able to showcase all these different songs and all these different characters. So it's a fun show. It's one that I try to take in often, not every time I walk by, but I do really enjoy it. And, you know, these days there's not often a really big line for it, so it's easy to take in.
Yeah, you know, I actually was there not too long ago and hadn't seen it in a while, so I'm seeing it. And sure, I mean, you have to wait because it's a theater, so obviously they have to wait for the previous show to clear out, but they can fit a lot of people in there, so
yeah,
like you said, there's not usually a long wait for it. And it's cute, and it's just very Disney, and like you said, like just having all the different movies, but having like the Disney characters put into these different movies is cute. And it's definitely one that people should see. I think it's one that people kind of walk by on their way to other things. There's a lot happening in that section of Fantasyland, where you've got Peter Pan's Flight, and It's a Small World, and the Carousel, and now there's the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, not like right across the way, really.
Yeah.
So I think it's one that people may walk by, but it's one that they really should stop and see.
I agree. I definitely agree. All right, good. So today, our topic, top 6 ways cast members make your vacation special. And Aaron, you've got number one.
First one for me, kind of goes back a little bit to what I was talking about when I was just relaying some of my experiences. That almost always across the board, the cast members are super friendly. They're super happy. They'll always stop and chat with you. They'll always want to answer questions. But because there's such a high level of training and service expected, and really because you're working at Disney, you're breathing in the pixie dust all the time, they're always, in my experience, very friendly, very happy. And it just kind of adds to the entire experience. You know, it'd be one thing if you went to, you know, for example, I was out, actually, this is a Disneyland reference, but I was at Disneyland not too long ago, and there was a meet and greet for Jack and Sally, Nightmare Before Christmas. And there was a young woman, cast member, she was there, kind of operating the line. And she could have just kind of been like, all right, there's a line, how many people in your party? And let people in, and just not really said anything. And she would have been fully functional as an employee, probably would have been within the confines of her job description. And I probably wouldn't have paid her any mind. I would just walked on by, gotten in line, saw Jack and Sally, and got about my day without really thinking about her at all. But she was super bubbly, super friendly, and at one point while we're in line, the people in front of us are getting their photos taken with Jack and Sally and talking. and we're waiting, and obviously we've got now, you know, a minute or so to wait. We're chatting with her, and she's giving suggestions about other things to see. Oh, have you seen this yet? Oh, it's right over there. You have to go check it out. And, you know, giving food suggestions and just asking where we're from and just being really friendly and chatty, and but in a fun way, in a great way. And just, you know, so now a year later, here I am talking about this random cast member experience because it stuck in my mind. Because she was just so friendly and giving suggestions and being, you know, and being just this very Disney personality as opposed to just standing there and doing her job. So I feel that's something that sets a lot of them apart, is the fact that they are a part of the Disney experience.
Yeah. And it's amazing what an impact those things make. And I'm sure that you remember that meet and greet with Jack and Sally, and that was fun. But this experience with that cast member also stuck in your mind, maybe even as much. And I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of those things. And it's, you know, like I said, almost anywhere else you go, that might have been different. And she wouldn't have been a bad employee if she could just ask somebody at our party, you know, had us wait in line to be next, as, you know, said, okay, you guys are next, go on in, like, she would have been doing her job.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was, you know, more than that, and not even just, you know, forcing it. It was just, she was wanting to get to know the guests, and that was great. And even when I'm at Disney, you know, years and years later, I still find myself slipping into that when I'm at Disney parks.
Mm.
And if I see people try to take a photo, struggling with it, I'll stop and offer to take a photo of them. Or if I see somebody with a map and they look confused, I'll stop and like see if they need help with the map. It's just one of those things that is just ingrained in me now. But, you know, it makes a difference. That really just high level of friendliness. It's not even high level of service. It's high level of friendliness. Those are different things in a way, where they're part of. They're part of the Disney experience.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's a big thing.
Yeah. I love this quote by Lee Cockrell, who was an executive vice president at Disney. And he said, "You don't have to be happy to work at Disney, but you do have to act happy for 8 hours because we're putting on a show." And I always thought that was great because, you know, Disney cast members are real people too, and they get flat tires, and you know, the dog did something bad on the carpet. All these things happen, but when you're there, you've got a job to do and a show to put on, and you need to act in a certain way, and that makes a big, big impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said earlier, you're gonna have bad days.
Yep.
You're gonna be tired. You're gonna, you know, be stressed out of things happening at home. It's gonna be super hot, and you're not gonna want to do it.
Yep.
But you have to. It's your job, and how you do it makes a big difference to them and to you and to people around you. You know, so I think for my first one, just that really super friendly Disney cast member attitude is one of the big things that sets them apart.
I think that's great and definitely belongs on the top of the list. I'm actually going to build on it, or maybe take a subset of it for my item, which is number two. And it's that I definitely notice that Disney cast members take the time to converse. And so there are a lot of places where people are focused on, you know, efficiency or getting something done. But I think Disney cast members understand that communicating and conversing and speaking with people is an important job. It's an important responsibility. I remember a long time ago, and I don't know if the rules or order has changed, but there was a Disney seminar about customer service, and I had a chance to go to it, and they talked about safety, courtesy,
show,
and efficiency. And I still remember that. Because, you know, if people break their foot, it doesn't matter how nice everybody is. But after that, it's more important that you have courtesy than it is that everybody believes they're on the savannah. Or they get an extra 100 people stuffed in there. And the fact that they took the time to think about and rank order those priorities, I think, was impressive. I mean, that shows some really smart business acumen. So this ability to be courteous and to converse is a priority for cast members. And you see it because they will take the time to help you. And those things make an impression.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned the SCSE thing, Safety, Courtesy, Show, Efficiency. That's one of the first things we learn. And it's something, and that's one of the things that is stuck with me, because you learn in a way to have that in your head at all times, in every situation. You know, is it safe? Is it courteous? You know, you kind of check them off in order.
Yeah.
In a way. And, you know, as long as you're safe, can you still be, you know, super courteous and happy? You know, can you get, you know, can you keep the show going? So, you know, that's actually a big deal. It's a big part of the training. And that's something that has, you know, stuck with me for a long time. So I think it's kind of funny you brought it up. you know, I remember this random time when I was a cast member, and I was standing at, I was basically waiting to let people into the Mermaid, and it was busy day, summertime, a lot of people, and of course it's hot, everyone wants to get in and sit down and watch the show. And on Disney cast member name tags, in a lot of cases, they have where they're from beneath their name.
Mm-hmm.
That is an option that you can get on your name tag. I did. I got the town I grew up in, which is Ashland, Massachusetts. And I'm just standing there. Some couple of guys are at the front of the line and just kind of, you know, making small talk. And they kind of look at my name tag. And they're like, oh, you're from Ashland, Massachusetts. Do you know so-and-so? And it turns out I'd gone to high school with him.
Hmm.
And he happened to go to college with them.
Wow.
And just sparked this whole conversation. Like, we started talking for a while. It's kind of funny because, first of all, there's all these random connections. But, you know, then it was just this, you know, great, it was because I'd been talking to them already and taking the time just to chit-chat with them, that they ended up, you know, even noticing this detail at all. And that was one of the most, that was one of the really fun parts about the job to me, is just talking to people. Like, you're talking to people from all over the world who are all really there to do the same thing, and that's have fun at Disney World.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, as long as you're being courteous about it, you're not, you know, being a jerk. I think, you know, and I think that, and like the cast member Disneyland, who, you know, was just wanted to talk and wanted to ask us what we'd seen already and wanted to make suggestions like that, and stuff like that was great. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Just the, you know, that level of just want to talk and converse and you know, bring you into the story is kind of an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of those, like a lot of these on the list, you just don't see or don't see enough in other places, so it really stands out when Disney does it well.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay, that was number two, so three is over to you again, Aaron.
So for number three for me, and it's still building off of the same, you know, theme that we've been going on now. If you're there for a special event, if it's your birthday, if it's an anniversary, if it's your honeymoon, if it's graduation, you know, any number of like special events, you can go to guest services at any of the parks or Disney Springs and get an event button. These buttons are these big buttons you stick onto your, you know, pin onto your clothing, which will say, you know, in the case of a honeymoon, happily ever after, or in case of, you know, in the case of a birthday, happy birthday, or they do have generic ones where it's like, I'm celebrating blank, and you can write in what you're celebrating in Sharpie.
Yeah.
So my wife and I went there for a honeymoon a handful of years back, and we had our happily ever after buttons on. And cast members, when they see these buttons, will at the very least often congratulate you in passing, or stop and say, hey, congratulations, like ask you questions. We actually had, we were in Frontierland, my wife and I, during our honeymoon, and just looking at one of the shops, like you do, and this woman, this older woman, cast member, sees our buttons and starts asking the questions. And she's like, oh, you know, when did you guys get married? Where are you guys from? All these questions. And she's writing things down. She's writing down our name, our first name. She's writing down where we're from.
Hmm.
And she's like, all right, we're going to do two things. And the first thing is she brings us over to a phone. Like, we found a register counter that wasn't being used. and she went behind the counter and picked up the phone and looked at a sheet on her in her pocket and dialed the number and hands it to my wife first, and then my wife listens to it, and then the woman takes the phone back and dials a different number and hands it to me. And what it was recordings of Mickey and Minnie congratulating us.
Huh.
Phone. You know, it's like, you know, oh boy, this is Mickey Mouse, and, you know, I'm so happy that you're spending your special day, you know, thing with us. And so there's this little message from Mickey and Minnie for us. And then this cast member takes us outside to the middle of the Frontierland street. And at the top of her lungs announces to every other guest and cast member within earshot, with considerable earshot, this woman, you know, could raise her voice, that this is, you know, Aaron and Gilly, and they're, you know, celebrating their honeymoon. They just got married, and they're from Boston. Like, this whole big, like, announcement.
Mm.
And, you know, the other guests, the cast members that could hear us, kind of applauded and went on their day. And, I mean, very, very random, very, very silly. But it made us feel so special.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, really made us, you know, it made us, it made, you know, it added to this Disney story narrative that you know, Disney Parks tries very hard to make every guest a part of. So if you're wearing an event button, even, you know, a cast member walking by and saying, oh, hey, congratulations, oh, hey, happy birthday, it makes you feel special.
Yeah.
And at making every guest feel special, and every guest like they're part of the story, and every guest, like, you know, have that feeling when they're there celebrating something, is really cool. And it's a big deal, and it's something that I think that's why people go spend their birthday at Disney and their honeymoon at Disney and all these things.
Yeah, those are great stories. I love when you share those about your honeymoon or other times you've been there. And I always encourage people, if you are celebrating anything, you know, graduating seventh grade, go and get one of those buttons, because people will notice. And sometimes you'll get a little something extra special. You shouldn't expect it, but it's nice when you get it. And hey, those buttons are a nice free souvenir too.
Yeah, exactly. Like we have a pin board up on our wall of all the different pins and buttons we've got from Disney. And we have, you know, our happily ever after buttons up there. And you're right. It's a free thing. It's a souvenir of, oh, hey, I was there for my, you know, 12th birthday or whatever. But even just having, you know, a cast member walk by and say happy birthday, just it's a little special thing. Yeah. And, you know, whether you're turning 8 or you're there for your honeymoon, it's a special thing.
Yeah.
And so it's cool. It's just a kind of a little neat bonus thing that Disney does for their guests or they're celebrating something.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like those buttons. That was number 3. Good one. Okay. Number 4. So one thing that I think Disney does especially well, and you'd kind of think they would given the business they're in and the people that they serve, is that they treat children with respect. It seems like every time I go through an entryway to the park, there is a security guard or a cast member who notices a little girl who's all dressed up like a princess and says, hey, good morning, princess, how are you? And you can tell these little girls just beam and love it when somebody calls them a princess. Or when a cast member is having a conversation with a kid, they will get down at eye level with that child to talk to them and not just completely ignore them and have the conversation with the parents. I think the fact that, you know, a lot of kids do go to Disney World, you hope that Disney does a good job at this, but I think they do even more than you would expect in taking time out to recognize kids and interact with them and respect with them and pull them into the conversations.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a pretty big thing. And obviously, I'm not saying that Disney is for kids, because I've definitely been there plenty of times as an adult. And I believe that's not true, but you're right. There's a lot of kids there, and there's a lot of, you know, childlike fantasy there. So being able, you know, to take your kids there and not just go on fun rides, but have, you know, the kids feel like they're part of it and appreciated by the cast members. Absolutely.
Yep. Good. That was number 4. So Aaron, number 5 for you.
So, last one for me, is, and I'm going to build off of what you just said in a moment with this. So if you happen to collect pins, or if you happen to collect the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom trading game cards, you can often go to cast members and trade with them. Pin trading is a huge thing. Obviously, you know, there's plenty of guests that trade with each other, stuff like that. But if you see a cast member wearing a pin lanyard, you can always go to that cast member and trade pins with them. You know, they're always willing to, I think actually some shops may even have like pin trading boards. I don't know if that's still a thing, but, or if you, collect the Sorcerers of Magic Kingdom cards. I was actually there not too long ago and I went to the firehouse to get my daily, cards for my deck. And there was a cast member out front with a binder. And you could stop and flip through the binder and see if there's anything they had that you wanted and trade with them. So if you're a pin trader and you're walking around, and some people don't necessarily want to stop another guest at random and talk to them and ask them to trade pins or anything like that. But they want to they want the pin trading experience. They can always stop and do it with a cast member. So I think that's really cool. I think that's kind of a neat thing that the cast members do, and they're not required to by any means. It's what a lot of them do just for fun. And building on what you said earlier about really kind of treating the kids, differently, is there are certain, I want to say it's green, but don't quote me on that. If you see a cast member with a green lanyard, and again, I think it's green, they will only trade pins with children.
Interesting.
And like I said, I could have the color wrong, but it's, I mean, the cast members will trade with anybody. They're required to. But if they have the differently colored lanyard on, they'll only trade with kids. I think it's 12 and under. Again, my thought process could be hazy on that, so I could be wrong on the numbers. And it's not like they ask the kid how old they are. I think there's some degree of judgment call involved. But yeah, so it's just something so the kids can do the trading experience and stuff like that. So that's something. It's something I'm not 100% sure they still do. I know it was a thing for a while. But it's just another example of, how seriously they take, the kids getting the best experience they can as well.
Yeah, this is a great one. And to me, this is one of those things that's like a whole world hidden in plain view, where a long time ago, I see pins for sale in the store, and I noticed that cast members wear them, but I didn't realize there's this entire trading system happening all the time all over the parks, and it's a lot of fun. It's a good chance to be able to interact with cast members and see different pins and try to collect sets that you really like. It's a great way to do something that's kind of interesting and adds a new dimension to your Disney trip if you've been there a number of times. It's a great way to strike up conversations with cast members. It's just a lot of fun. And it's one of those things where if you're going for the first time, you've never seen of or heard of Disney trading pins, you could walk by this happening everywhere and never even notice it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to hear about this and know that if you see a cast member who's wearing pins, either a lanyard around their neck or they may have a little square hanging from their belt. Right. They will trade with you. And of course, there's a whole series of guidelines and rules. So you should only trade two pins with each cast member. You have to have something to give them in exchange for them giving something to you. You can pick whatever you want from their lanyard. So whole system on how that works. But it's this extra fun layer that creates interaction and helps people to have fun in a new and different way with the cast members.
Yeah, definitely. I was there few years back now, which probably means several years back because my concept of time is shaky, with my grandmother. And she had a lanyard on and she, does the pin trading and all that. And she was in a wheelchair and it was just, us kind of pushing her around and going to different things. And like I said, it's tough sometimes, like even if you see another guest with a lanyard, don't always want to stop and talk to a guest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that I won't, not that I haven't, but, sometimes it's just awkward sort of a conversation, like, in that sense.
Yeah.
But she was, so we're waiting for, I don't even remember what attraction now, we were waiting for an attraction, and there's a cast member with a lanyard, and we start a conversation with them while we're waiting in line, and And this cast member, this guy, was like, "Oh, let's see what you have." And she showed the pins, and he's like, "You know, oh, you know, here's what I have." And there was a pin that she liked that she didn't have, and he's like, "Oh, you know, how about that one?" And they did a trade, and she was like, just super happy that like this trade had happened. And she's like, "Oh, I don't have this pin yet." And it was like this just neat little. And then he was chatting with us for a bit, and yeah, it's just a great way to kind of, again, just kind of expand that experience a little bit.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, so if you're a pin trader, remember you can always trade with cast members. And they have some pretty cool stuff sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. You never know what you might find on another cast member's lanyard. So it is fun. Okay, that was number five. So number six, last one, is over to me. One thing that always impresses me is that I believe, and I've experienced, cast members will always go out of their way to answer any question they possibly can. So this is another one where maybe comparing to the rest of the world, this really stands out. So you can go to a lot of places and ask a question like, "I don't know," or I don't care enough to find the answer. But it happens, and you see it all the time at Disney World. People ask all kinds of questions, and I think as cast members are there for a while, they learn the answers to many of them off the top of the bat. But when you really see this shine is when the cast member doesn't know the answer. And I'm sure, you know, new things come up all the time. Things change. People ask some wacky questions. And I've never seen a cast member just say, "I don't know." What I have seen is that they will go find someone and figure out the answer. And I suspect the cast members are, and maybe you can give your thoughts on this, are trained to make sure that they find the answers and probably have tools to help them find the answers, like phone numbers. And I've seen a lot of cast members huddled around an iPad recently because someone's in a shop and they're looking for something in particular. And the cast members now have this iPad app tool looking for this particular souvenir that someone really wants, and they're taking the time to try to track it down for them and just saying, instead of just saying, "Eh, I don't know, good luck." So I love the fact that they will take the time to track down the answers to questions.
Yeah, and that is part of the training. You know, it was then, I have to imagine it still is now. And either find, if you know someone in your area that knows the answer, great. If you have to call, great. You know, whatever you have to do. You know, as a cast member, you try not to say no to anybody at all. There's obviously a limit. If you know, a guest comes up and asks a cast member that they want a costume goofy character to follow them around all day and hold their packages while they shop, I think the answer is going to be no.
Right.
I've never asked, so I don't know, but I'm going to go ahead and assume here. But within reason, yeah, they're going to try to accommodate. They're going to try to help. They're going to definitely have suggestions and have ideas to find the answer or to help with whatever you're asking about. You know, even if it's something simple like you're at a busy attraction, "Hey, when do you think would be a good time to come back? When do you think the line's going to go down?"
Mm-hmm.
They might say it's not going to go into, it's going to be busy all day. They might say, "You know what, try around dinner time. It's usually a little quieter then." Or like, you know, cast members say, "Oh, have you seen this yet? Oh, you have to go check this out." Or sometimes they'll say, you know, they'll point out things that maybe you didn't know about. Like, "Oh, when you see this attraction, make sure you turn and look to the left because you're going to see this."
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're right. They're there all the time. They know lots of off the top of their head. Because a really good cast member isn't just there because it's a job. They're there because they love Disney and they want to be there and they want to be part of the experience. Many of the cast members I've interacted with as a guest and as a cast member go there on their days off.
Mm-hmm.
And go on things. I did it as a cast member myself. I was actually at Hollywood Studios not too long ago, and a friend of mine works on a show there, and on his day off came out to hang out and you know, go through Launch Bay and see the same show he works on, the show he sees all the time, sat and saw it with us. So, you know, these are people that love being there and love doing this. So when they're not there, they're still going there and they're still hanging out there. So they have a lot of information.
Yep. Agreed. And it's just one of those many things that sets aside the Disney experience, I think. So, Aaron, this was a fun list, and I think there are a lot of different angles we could maybe talk about the world of cast members in the future. But top six ways today that cast members make your vacation special. Number one, they treat you in a super friendly way. Number two, they take time to converse. Number three, they congratulate you if you're wearing a pin. Four, they treat children with respect. Five, they trade pins and sorcerer's cards. And six, they answer all of your questions. Aaron, as always, it was a lot of fun. I appreciate your joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on this one, because I'm always up for talking about cast members. and in a positive way, obviously.
Yeah, and you bring a lot of good experience to it, so I appreciate that. So tell us, if people are interested in learning more about what you're up to these days, how can they find that out?
Well, they can head on over to my blog, which is called Magic and Misadventures. That is magicandmisadventures.com. And from there, they can find links to social media outlets, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. And basically, it's a Disney blog. I write about all sorts of things, primarily the parks. Sometimes I branch out into like the movies or other things. And it can range from, you know, ranting if I'm really worked up about something. It can be just talking about my experiences, which happens a lot. It can be like do-it-yourself projects. It can be I just recently wrote up kind of trip diaries for Destination D, the D23 event I was at late last year. So it really does kind of run the gamut, but it's all about just different Disney things. Actually, in relation to this particular topic, if they go to magicandmisadventures.com and in the search bar put like cast member diaries, I think it might be on the side under categories as well. I actually wrote a three-part series about my experience as a cast member from applying, getting the job up until, you know, I ended up quitting, you know, later. So if they really want to kind of read about my personal experience as a cast member, they can do that by searching the cast member diaries on magicandmisadventures.com.
Great. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I always enjoy your take on all things Disney at magicandmisadventures.com. And you do a really good job of the material you post there. So thanks for sharing it.
No, thanks for having me on. And give me a moment to plug it.
You bet. Thanks again, Aaron.
Oh, thank you.
Today we head out to the songs of hardworking Disney characters from The Seven Dwarfs. And yes, we have made it through the list of the top six ways that cast members make your vacation special, but our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think. You can check out the list and add your own comments at the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/111, a page that, of course, works nicely on desktops, tablets, and smartphones. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch and invite you to follow me on social media. You can follow me on facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, I'd appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, my heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very cool. Thank you for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big,